I'm someone who loves trying out different makeup looks, but doesn't really wear much on a daily basis, so I like to focus on making sure I have high quality staples. And whether you like a fresh face, full glam, or somewhere in between, you've probably seen Thrive Cosmetics Viral Tubing Mascara. I've certainly seen it everywhere. You know, the one in the turquoise tube? So that mascara, along with all of Thrive Cosmetics' beauty products, are certified 100% vegan and cruelty-free, which I look for in makeup, and they've got excellent quality to match. And something I didn't know from all the mascara videos I've seen is that for every product sold, Thrive Cosmetics donates either that same product, another product that is needed more, or a monetary donation. They've worked with over 500 nonprofits to help with a wide range of causes like supporting cancer survivors, people experiencing homelessness, education access, and so much more. Knowing that makes me feel even better about using their products. And I do enjoy using them. Like I said, I like having high quality staples, and so my favorites are products that are multi-purpose, like the Brilliant Eye Brightener. It comes in a bunch of colors, and I like using them as eyeliner, eyeshadow, and even highlighter. Thrive Cosmetics is luxury beauty that gives back. Right now, you can get an exclusive 20% off your first order at thrivecosmetics.com/thrive. That's Thrive Cosmetics, CAUSEMETICS, .com/thrive for 20% off your first order. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
And it was my downtime. I was supposed to like go away for a while. And then they said, oh, please, can you just come in and read? And I was like, okay, what's the part? They said, auntie. Okay, I said, okay, I can do auntie.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. If this is your first time tuning in, this is a show where I speak to fellow actors about their journey in the industry, and I make them share a couple bad audition stories for me. If you're not subscribed to the show, make sure to hit that subscribe button right now wherever you're listening, and leave us some love in the form of ratings and reviews. That would be epic and very appreciated. Also, we now have a YouTube channel, so go check out that YouTube channel. And I started a Discord. I don't know what to do with the Discord. So if y'all want to join that and, like, you know, we can all just Discord together. If that's a thing. Anyway, those links are in the show notes. Check them out if you have a moment. Today on the show is Selena Tan. You may remember her from Crazy Rich Asians. She's in the brand new Amazon movie Shotgun Wedding with J-Lo and Josh Duhamel. Comes out tomorrow. That's right, January 27th, only on Amazon. We talk all things acting and living in Singapore and creating a community of actors out there and a lot of other things. It was really cool to talk to Selena, so here is our conversation. And welcome to the show, Selena.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming on the show. We were just talking beforehand about how you just flew in from Singapore, which is amazing. I've always wanted to go there.
Oh, you must imagine.
Yes. Now that I have somebody I know there, I'm going to come.
I'll show you around town.
Yes. Well, I just adored you in Crazy Rich Asians.
Aww,
I thought you... You were such a standout and so funny, and also just a fantastic movie. I can't even imagine what it was like to be a part of it.
It was really special. I mean, you know, when I first started doing it, because the American cast had obviously come to Singapore and Malaysia to shoot, and we didn't really know very much about what was actually happening. I knew there was a Kevin Kwan book, so that was exciting. And then we shot it, but as we shot it, you know, we became such good friends, all of us, and I started to understand the importance of the film, and you know, how everybody really felt like, how everybody really gave it their all, because, you know, clearly there was this feeling like, you know, this was going to mean something. And then when it came out, I mean, John Chu as a director, he's wonderful at pulling the team together. He's very inspiring in that way. You know, he would make sure he talks to all of us so that we are all on the same page. And we all, when it finally came out and the impact that it had, you know, it just gives you a little something special that you were a part of that. And that's something that no one takes away from you.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, it was a smash hit, like almost instantly, which was so incredible. And I mean, Singapore in general and Malaysia, it was just so stunning to see that on the big screen, that wedding scene and with the reception and the things. And you're just like, this can't be real. This cannot be a real place.
It is. You've got to come. You've got to see the real thing.
I know. I have to.
Well, I have to say also, Nelson, who's the art director on that piece, wonderful guy. And he's just so talented. So, yes, all the spaces were there. But he really went in and he, you know, went the extra mile to bring in all the plants into this chapel. You know, like it's a beautiful but chapel with stained glass and everything. But when we stepped in, we were like, oh my God, the outdoors had come indoors.
Yeah.
And then when the water flooded, we were like, what? This is mad.
I mean, it's wild. When you're watching that movie, you're just like, oh my God, I've never seen anything like this.
Yeah, and I mean, really credit to the Nelson's art direction and the design. And when we were there, we were like, okay, you know, this is, for me, it was kind of like, you know, this is why I want to be part of this Hollywood experience, because you know, that added touch, the added, you know, going the extra mile to make sure that everything is just so, I think that's what's so precious.
Mm. Well, that brings up a great little segue that I wanted to make here, which is I want to know how you got your start in acting. And I also want to get to like what it's like to be an actor in Singapore. But first, let's talk about what made you want to be an actor.
You know, I always say, you know, when I was growing up many, many, many years ago, it was never I don't think it was anybody's consciousness that you could grow up to be an actor or a dancer or an artist. It was just not. You know, it was just not the thing. We are an Asian society. All Asian parents want your children to grow up to be doctors and lawyers and accountants and engineers. And there was no drama school. There was no way to, you know, do acting in the university, in the colleges, nothing. Nothing was available at the time when I was growing up. Nowadays, you know, I mean, these things are available. But so while I was growing up, acting and performing, singing, whatever, everything like that, they were all hobbies. I mean, you know, they're just kind of extracurricular stuff that you take after you finish school. You go, you do an hour or two of just fun activities to get your mind off school so that you free yourself up and then go and do better in school. But, you know, it's just that. And what happened was that I enjoyed my extracurricular activity. I really enjoyed the performing and the dancing and the putting shows together. And after school, I started taking part in a lot of community theatre projects. So it was an American community theater company called STARS. And it's just made up of, you know, American expatriates who are working and living in Singapore, but they like to put up a musical every now and then. They all get together. And then, you know, they let us, you know, I was really young then, maybe about 14 or 15 years old. And then I'd play. So they'd do like a version of, say, Annie, Get Your Gun. And then I'd play like the kids. you know,
Yeah.
like the little kids or you know, whatever. So it was just really good fun. I my education wise, I went the route of all Singaporean kids at that time, meaning you go to the colleges, the university. I read law in the university. I came out, I practiced as a lawyer for a few years. But because I had started acting since I was 14 or 15, by the time I became a lawyer, I had felt like I had been acting for more years of my life.
Yeah.
Like I had more under my acting belt than I under my lawyering belt. And so I decided at that time, the theater companies were starting to go professional in Singapore. And then I thought, okay, I mean, you know, I'm young, so why not give it a go? And I did, and then I just never turned back.
That's amazing. You know, it's so interesting. I feel like the only place in Asia I've been to is Seoul. And when I was there, I met up with the woman that I rented our Airbnb from, and I met her daughter too, who was in high school at the time. And she was telling me, she was like, "I hate American Disney things because you guys have so much fun over the summer and we're just in school." And she was like, "It's so not real." And I was like, "Wait, what?" And she told me all about the, you know, the education system, at least in Seoul, and it sounds like it was a lot like Singapore as well, and how rigid it was, and how like performing arts and stuff like that was just kind of, you know, a dream of sorts. So interesting. So you decided to go full force into acting, and how did you find your way into that? Were there classes that you were able to take? Did you get an
No, so I
agent?
no. None of that exists. You know,
This is
it's
so
not like
interesting.
that.
I love
Not
this.
like where I come from. So, when, like I said, I was acting from age 14, but mainly in community theater. So they were like, we meet on a Saturday or a Sunday, sometimes on the evening, one of the, you know, one of the evenings. And then from there, a few local theater companies started forming up, and then they would hire. They went professional, so they would start to hire people who would be able to work full time, meaning rehearse in the daytime, Monday to Fridays, instead of just at nights when people come from their other jobs. So once that happened, I was probably in my early 20s at that time, and I realized I was running two jobs at one time. I was like being a lawyer in the day, and then I would go at night and rehearse. But you know, that takes a toll on you, and then you can't. Your focus is not there. So I thought, okay, since these theater companies are willing to work in the daytime now, I left my legal job, and I just did the productions with them. So then there came more jobs, and when I felt like I couldn't wait for, like, you know, just to be offered work, I started my own production house. So I have my own production company just to do shows that I felt I wanted to do. And then it's been we're in our 22nd year now. So we've been doing quite a lot.
And do you do film and films in it as well, or is it mostly theater?
So I do mostly theater. My production house does only theater, and my experience when I'm in Singapore, my life is just around the theater. I don't really do film. I did film early in my early years for other film companies. I've had a couple of Mandarin films and so on and so. So if you go like the Taiwanese and the Hong Kong audiences might know me from like my earlier films with like I Not Stupid and all that sort of part Mandarin, part English films. And really, I only went back to film when Crazy Rich Asians came along, and I thoroughly enjoyed the experience. And you know, and then now I've gotten the chance with Shotgun Wedding, and I'm happy to, you know, it's kind of like it's kind of like a dream come true. I mean, it's like, you know, I really appreciate the fact that the producers here had given me a chance to do it, and I hope to be able to do more in the future.
We're going to take a quick commercial break and then we'll be right back.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch. And organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
And back to the show. Well, speaking of Shotgun Wedding, this is a new film on Amazon that comes out January 27th with J-Lo and Josh Duhamel. What can you tell me about it?
Oh, it's super fun. I mean, I've watched it once, just sort of in my home, and I've in Singapore, the show opened in the cinemas about 2 years ago. So I went with my entire family to the first screening in Singapore. We created our own little premiere. So we went for the 10:40 a.m. screening of the movie, and we sat there, we watched it. And I think what's brilliant about the movie is that there's something for everyone. You know, it really... It's a rom-com, yes, and it's romantic comedy with a lot of spunk in it because, you know, of course, the characters that J-Lo and Josh play, they're older. They're not like a young, sort of young, right. Groom and bride. So they're older. It's a bit spunkier. There's a lot of heart in it. But on top of that, it's actually a full-on action flick. I mean, there's just like... guns galore, grenades are being thrown, fireworks going up, people are dying left, right, center. You know, I mean, things come crashing down, you know. So there's a lot of action. I mean, like my husband, you know, who does not suffer a rom-com well, says to me, oh, this kind of a film, I could watch this. And, you know, so that's what I think. It's good for everyone.
Now, did you get to do any stunts?
I really wanted to, you know, I had my fingers and my toes crossed. I was like, oh, maybe. But you know what really thrilled me was that I had a stunt double, and she looked like me.
Wow.
She's from Thailand. She was wonderful. I did have, like, I had to take a couple of, what is that, driving sessions. Because I had a scene at the start of the movie where I have to drive Josh on the golf buggy. So the extent of my stunt work.
So what was that experience like for you filming it? I imagine that you filmed that in America, right? Or Canada or somewhere?
No, we filmed that in the Dominican Republic.
Whoa, okay. So Dominican Republic, completely different than what I was thinking. But I mean, how was that experience for you being a person who's, like, you know, mostly working in Singapore, being flown to another place and, you know, experiencing the real, real Hollywood treatment?
Yeah, I think really the entire episode, this entire adventure that I've been on and still am on, really, it has been surreal. You know, we were right smack in the pandemic. I mean, things were pretty bad. This was 2 years ago, and vaccines had just started coming out. I couldn't even get a vaccine myself because, you know, they were doing by age in Singapore, and I was just not old enough to get it yet. And we flew. I, and the truth is, I was telling some of the reporters back home, I really felt like it was a gift from God in a way. I mean, the producers being the God, I suppose. Like, I give Jason Moore, the director, and the producers, J-Lo, and, you know, and they all gave me a gift. And because my life in the theater in Singapore had come to a screeching halt. Of course, you know, I mean, we couldn't stage the shows. Audiences were told they couldn't congregate. So we stopped all our productions, and we were all just sort of biding our time. And then lo and behold, I get an offer to say, would you fly to the Dominican Republic? Are you available? And I'm like, yes, as it turns out, I am available since I have nothing to do. And so we flew into the Dominican Republic, a beautiful setting. I met some of the most gorgeous, wonderful actors and actresses, you know, all really stars in their own right. Sonia Braga, Cheech Marin, Darcy Cardin, Jennifer Coolidge. I mean, seriously. And we were housed together in this villa. I mean, it's not just any villa. It's like a mega villa.
Right, it's like a mansion.
Yeah, tennis courts and swimming pools, a cinema. It's got, you know, it's just the most amazing, luxurious place you could be in. And the sort of 11 of us became really good friends. It was like summer camp, and we would eat together, swim together, jacuzzi together, you know, just chat. And I found that so wonderful because it's like I could get an insight to so many other lives. And all these people that I had seen on screen, you know, now I know another side to them, you know, and like from behind the scenes. We watched some of their movies because there was a cinema in the villa, of course. I got to find out, like, you know, in the Kiss the Spider-Woman, Sonia Braga, who, you know, her mother made the costumes, you know, all the little details that I would never have known, you know, otherwise. So it was really... It's really a gift, that 2 months, that those 2 months that I spent there.
Yeah, you know, you said it was like summer camp, and that's how I equate essentially like every film that I do is it feels like a summer camp because you're with these people for 2, 3, 4 months nonstop, and then you're never all going to be together again. It just like that magic is gone. And it really is like this special moment where you get to say, oh, I remember those months I spent with them.
Exactly. You completely get it.
Well, I'd love to talk to you more about your own theater work. I think I saw, did I see some stand-up comedy as well on YouTube?
Yes. I when I first started a company in the year 2000, it was really just to sort of handle my stand-up comedy shows, my one-woman shows. So that's what I did initially. I would you know, cater each of my stand-up shows to different groups of people. So I would like, I would do something for nurses, and, you know, like all the nurses would come in, and, you know, we would have a good time, and I'd do something for teachers and so on and so forth. So, but that's what we did in the early years. That was kind of my stand-up comedy journey. And then after, quite soon after that, I created a cabaret trio. We're called the Dim Sum Dollies. And we do satirical...
I love that name.
Yeah. The Dim Sum Dollies. We have our song. The three of us. We're sort of larger than life. Well, our costumes make us larger than life. Sequins and feathers and, you know, so on and so forth. And we take on different characters and personas. And we just laugh about ourselves, about everybody else. And, you know, and some of it is quite pretty much like political satire. And it really hit. I mean, it really took off in Singapore. I think because, you know, it can be quite, it can feel quite repressive in the small country that we are in. Like sometimes you feel like there are a lot of do's and don'ts, and, you know, people sort of have to feel like they have to tread very carefully. And then along come these three crazy girls, and, you know, and sort of like our little, we're so crazy that we sort of push the envelope a little bit too far every now and then. And so, people really took to it because they needed to come to the theater to feel like some kind of release, some kind of catharsis. So we've been lucky enough to keep that going. And now that the pandemic's over, we just did one more installment of it about 4 months ago, and hopefully we keep going.
So I need to come to Singapore. I need to see the Dim Sum Dollies. The list is getting longer. Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories. So that can be something funny that's happened in the room, or the one that got away, or anything really. Do you have a story that you'd like to share with the listeners?
Oh, man, this is a tough one. Well, both sides of this, of, you know, sometimes I audition people as well. And that can be quite... that can be quite interesting without being too mean, you know, and I think one of the funniest was this person who came in, and it was a song that he was singing really passionately about, and it was like full on, but like every single lyric is wrong. He's just got like all the wrong lyrics, and he's like singing it like he, you know, he really means it from the heart, and some of the words just didn't make sense at all. And then I just had to like remain, you know, dignified and like not burst into and laugh, because that's really, you know, I mean, it took a bit of doing not to laugh.
Yeah,
but he was very committed.
I mean, that's all you got to do, right? Is you just got to commit when you're in the room and, like, make them believe that you believe it.
He really believed it.
Yeah. What was your Crazy Rich Asians auditions like? I mean, did they come to Singapore looking for people?
Yes, they did. You know, and they came, I think it all happened quite quickly because, I think they had to get like the main cast and everything settled, and then by the time they came to Singapore, they were like, okay, hurry up, we need some aunties. You throw some aunties. And I remember very clearly, because normally I think I wouldn't have been able to do it, but we had just finished a big production, and it was my downtime. I was supposed to like go away for a while, and then they said, oh, please, can you just come in and read? And I was like, okay, what's the part? They said auntie. Okay, I said, okay, I can do auntie. So I remember very distinctly, actually, that I decided that, you know, for fun, I went to the hair salon. I asked them for an auntie do. So I had curls, like these like giant curls. I went to do my nails and like, you know, like do these really you know, like some in back home, the aunties like to have these tattooed eyebrows in like a slight tinge of green or something. And then I wore this like really auntie-ish top. I really looked like
you went for it.
I went for it. It was fun. It was fun just to do it. So I went, I auditioned, it was just on tape, for a casting director. And it was, I think it was the lines from the Bible study class. So, you know, it was just, yeah, so I said those lines and that was it. And then they called me back, I think a week or so later.
Wow, that's amazing. I love that so much. And you're in Los Angeles right now. Is there more that we're expecting from you soon?
Oh, I hope so. Can you please, we'll put it out to the universe, to the LA universe, please. Yeah, I mean, I'm meeting some people, but mainly I'm here, I mean, for the premiere, mm-hmm. of course. We did some press, and my husband and my son will be joining me this time. Yeah, so I'm pretty excited about that. I'm hoping that the weather holds, because I want to go to Universal Studios.
And they just opened up Nintendo World, too, at Universal. My friend's there right now. She said it's amazing.
Oh, really? Oh, my son would love that. Yeah, so a lot to do.
That's so exciting. Well, I hope we get to see you in more and more American films so that your star can grow even brighter, because you are so
thank
funny.
Thank you.
I love watching you. And I'll see you in Singapore. Yes, I will come to Singapore. We will hang out. I will come see the dim sum dollies. It'll be great.
Yes, please. Okay.
Thank you so much.
Thank you very much. We'll talk soon. Bye-bye.
Thanks again to Selena for coming on the show and spending some time with me. Tune in next week. I have one of the stars of That 90s Show, Ren Doi, on. We talk about creating the wonderful character that is Ozzy, if he thinks we will ever meet Etienne, and so much more. So tune in next week. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Hey there, this is Justin Bartha. I made a funny new podcast, King of the Egg Cream. It has the greatest cast in the history of podcasts, with actors like Louis Black.
I'm torn by my feelings for two women.
Bobby Cannavale.
You can eat it, or if someone hits you, you can put it on your cut.
Melanie Lynskey.
I wonder what these marvelous things are that look just like boiled chicken feet.
Jason Ritter.
I can break things and pick locks and kill people.
Michael Stuhlbarg.
The whole point is to inspire people that they should make themselves better.
Ari Grainer.
No, don't whet its appetite. What are you, an idiot?
Me, Justin Bartha.
That's not just any egg cream, that's a Lemke's special.
And all narrated by the hilarious Richard Kind.
This is the story of Harry Dalowitz, and how he rose from nothing to become New York's King of the Egg Cream.
So if you like funny true stories, come listen to King of the Egg Cream, available wherever you get your podcasts.